Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here, and welcome to Healing the Heart. I'd like to begin with just a short prayer to get us centered in the spiritual, which is where it all begins. Lord, bless our show tonight and help us to contact the deep healing currents that you put forth for us to receive. And help us to become aware of the messages that you are sending, in the wisdom and the guidance that you are sending us, so that we can heal and we can be strong and healthy and whole. In his holy name, amen. So first of all, for the FDA, God bless the FDA, this show's not meant to treat, cure, or diagnose disease. If you have a disease, well, go see your medical doctor. Or if you're in the right state, go see a naturopath, which is a nature cure doctor and is also a primary care physician. Well, the first thing I want to talk about today is the subject of dealing with deep emotions. That phrase I learned from a woman who is a great teacher and a great woman that I worked with and gave remedies to for quite some time. And she had a staff of 750 people. She was the most together person I have ever met in my entire life. 750 full-time people on her staff. Never seen anything like it. She's probably one of the most powerful women that I've ever met. And people came to her and learned from her from all over the world. And when I first met her, she told me two things. She told me, you know, Dr. Love, I never deal with deep emotions. That's kind of a statement for our whole society. Our whole society, the whole world, that doesn't generally deal with deep emotions. She also said one other thing that I'll pass on to you. She stopped and took a breath and she said to me, you know what? And I said, what? She said, you are the sweetest person I have ever met in my entire life. And I said, well, thank you so much. It just absolutely blew me away. Now, let me tell you about someone else who's very powerful, who dealt with the subject of dealing with deep emotions, which is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. Because in our society, we are amputated man and an amputated woman and a castrated man and a castrated woman, because we don't deal with the feelings of the heart. We only deal with the intellectual and head games, things like that, making things happen. But we don't deal with our feeling, and you cannot get to the karmas which are causing your disease. You cannot get to the issues and baggage, emotional baggage, which is causing your suffering, unless you start to deal with your deep emotions, because that's a ticket in. That's a gateway in. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. Come up with an answer. Who is the toughest, most macho, strongest male man of our generation? Now think about that for a minute. Well, my answer is General Schwarzkopf, who defeated the Iraqis back in the Iraqi War, Desert Storm. General Schwarzkopf, if you ever want to see something macho, watch the Iraqis surrender. walking around on this Iraqi captured airfield, all these colonels and lieutenant colonels, and they all got submachine guns on they're carrying on their shoulder, and they've got aides with them. And in the middle of all these tough, tough men is General Schwarzkopf, the toughest of them all, the one that organized the whole defeat. General Schwarzkopf, when the Iraqis came in, the Iraqi generals come in for the surrender, they had a helicopter, they came in on jeeps, and they had a helicopter on each side of them and one on top of them. And when they got to the surrender tent, Schwarzkopf was there waiting for them, and he sat down with them, and he said, "I did not come here to listen to what your needs are. I came here so I can tell you what the terms of the surrender are going to be." The Iraqi general said, "Yes, sir, no problem." And he proceeded to do that. He was the most macho, toughest man that probably ever lived. Well, here's the story. When he retired and he came home, he was on the Barbara Walters show. And on his desk is a picture of his father, who I believe won the Congressional Medal of Honor, was a very great general, and he always sought the approval and the love of his father. So Barbara Walters mentioned his father, and General Schwarzkopf began to cry. Right there on national television, Barbara Walters stopped for a minute, and she said, "Now come the tears." And General Schwarzkopf was wiping his tears, and she said, "You know, I thought that generals weren't supposed to cry." And he looked up at her, and he said, "No." He said, "That's not true." He said, "Not really true. Lee cried at Appomattox. And Grant cried at Appomattox. And Lee cried when he became president, when he was inaugurated." He said, "There's many generals who cry and have cried publicly." And then he said the most profound thing I've ever heard. He said, "You know what?" He said, "I wouldn't trust a man who couldn't cry, because he's not a real man. He can't feel." Blew me away. I about fell off my seat. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is feeling, your ticket in to healing the emotional, spiritual conflict inside of you. You cannot heal if you cannot feel. Let me read you a poem here. "Let me see another part of you, a part that feels her heart and doesn't push away the deeper feelings of the nighttime air, the deep emotions of your soul. Let me feel the cold night air, the way it moves across my neck and shocks my face, my hands, the softest snow that hugs around my feet. Let me feel the fireplace. Touch the way it wraps my body in its heat and streams across my skin and breath and makes my blood come warm. Let me feel the stillness of the night and all the secrets lying quiet beyond the veil of time. The silence of the stars, the gentle moving mountain wind, the ancient whispers of a truth once known, we'll learn and know again. And most of all, let me feel the truth of who you really are and what you really feel, beyond the games and head trips of the city life. Your truth, you speak to me." revealing who you are, and share with me your deepest self, the self that's hidden from the wind. Let me feel the night to start, the blooming of the midnight air, and let me feel your heart. Okay, deep, deep. Emerson said, nothing happens by chance. Everything is pushed from behind. So we're living in a world where we're told, well, if you get this disease or if you get that suffering or you got this pain or whatever, it's all happening by accident. It's all happening at random. But I don't think it is. Emerson doesn't either. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is pushed from behind. And Kirpal Singh, who was president of the World Fellowship of Religions, he said most of our ills are psychosomatic, being the result of emotional disturbances caused by hatred, animosity, worry. You get yourself all worked up from worry, you're gonna bring disease onto you. The secret is we draw it to us. There's something inside of us that's drawing this disease and suffering to us. It's not something happening to us by random, by accident. I think I told a story about the was a massage therapist, and the owner of the building, who was a doctor, kept acupuncturist. She come in and she put her down every day. She put her down for years, and we started doing Bach flowers, and then we started doing the SAF, which is part of my system that I teach. A wonderful SAF system. And then she called me, Dr. Love, the weirdest thing. I said, what? So she comes in now, but she didn't put me down anymore. She comes in, she's trying to get me to like her. She's kissing up to me. She asked me out to dinner, asked me out to lunch. What the heck is going on? I said, well, girl, you work through the issues on the inside of yourself, the issues that were drawing people to you who put you down. You work those issues through, and now they're gone. Well, she said, yeah. She said, I never talked to her. I never processed anything. I never set her down or anything. I didn't deal with it in any way with her. It just vaporized. It just changed. And I said, yeah, that's because you heal the stuff on the inner self. That's what this system does. Dr. Bach wrote, suffering is a corrective to point out a lesson which we have failed to grasp. So when we're suffering, when we got pain, when we got a disease problem, when we got a bad situation, when we're in an uncomfortable situation, it's a lesson God has given us. And we're supposed to understand what the lesson is. If you want to get rid of pain and suffering, you've got to understand what the lesson is. Bach continues. Suffering, I'll read it again. Suffering is a corrective to point out a lesson, which by other means we have failed to grasp. And never can it be eradicated until that lesson is learned. Suffering is beneficent and for our good. And if rightly interpreted, will guide us to our essential faults. So there's certain faults that our soul is trying to change inside of us. We're too dominating. We're too much of a workaholic. We're too controlling. We're too critical. We're too hateful. We're too bitter. We're too angry. We're too worried. We've got too much. We need to chill and learn to discover ourselves. And in this age, this dark age we've been coming through, God has chosen to use physical disease and suffering as a way to get us, it's like a wake-up call to get us to come back around and start working on ourselves and change who we are and grow. That's a secret. People don't believe disease comes from the emotional or the emotional spiritual conflict. But you know what? If you look inside yourself, spend a few minutes with yourself, you'll see that it's true. There's three levels to the healing process that I teach. I mean, on the inside, you'll feel the disrespect on the inside of yourself. But on the outside, you just turn on the TV and they tell you that you need the Prozac and the Xanax. And by the way, pick me up some Oxycontin too. There's three levels of the healing process that I teach. The first album is the Subconscious Mind business. And I'm working one-handed because I'm holding my phone here. So let me look over here. I got something to read. That's pretty cool. I can get it one-handed. There it is. Okay. This is from the book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which everybody who's listening needs to get this book because this helps you activate that first level. First thing we need to realize is that this is from Dr. Joseph Murphy. Your subconscious mind's always working. It's active all day and night, whether you act upon it or not. Your subconscious mind is the builder of your body. You cannot consciously perceive or hear that inner silent process. Your business is with your conscious mind and not your subconscious mind. Just keep your subconscious mind busy with the expectation of the best. And make sure the thoughts you habitually think are based on whatever things are lovely, true, just, and a good report. In other words, Emerson said, you become what you think about all day long. Begin now to take care of your subconscious mind, knowing in your heart and soul that your subconscious mind is always expressing, reproducing, and manifesting according to your habitual thinking. So everybody listening, order a copy of that. If you got a Kindle, you get it for $2. If you got the Amazon Marketplace, you probably get it for 50 cents. Been around for a long time. Once you get into the mind, the first thing, the emotional component, the emotional spiritual conflict, the first thing that you encounter is the subconscious mind, and you want to master that. You want to create a positive expectancy and think about the healing that you're going to get. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they say you need to get rid of your stinking thinking. Level 2, we go deeper now into the level the Bach Remedies work on. Your character defects, your spiritual defects, what are they? The character defects are like fears and your worries and your dominating nature and being too critical and being a jerk and letting people walk all over you with anxiety. Let me read you from Dr. Bach, his book, The 12 Healers, and you all need to get this, and you can get this for free. It's a free download. Just Google The 12 Healers and Other Remedies. And also, while you're at it, Google Heal Thyself, which is the other book that Dr. Bach wrote. It's a free PDF download you can get off the internet. This system of healing, which has been divinely revealed unto us, shows that it is our fears, our cares, our anxiety, and such like that open the path to the invasion of illness. Thus, by treating our fears, our cares, our worries, and so on, we not only free ourselves from our illness, but the herbs given to us by the grace of the Creator of all, in addition, take away our fears and worries and leave us happier and better in ourselves. As the herbs heal our fears, our anxieties, our worries, and our faults and failings, and let me interrupt, the herbs don't actually heal your emotional issues. They trigger you to go ahead and do it yourself. It doesn't do it for you. Penicillin heals your problems in your body for you. If you got a certain kind of infection, the doctor gives you that. But the body doesn't work that way. Dr. Friend, who's a psychiatrist who studies with me, she said the action of the remedies is to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and work through the issues that you need to work through. So let me read this again, because the concept I'm sharing with you is that you are the one who needs to go and work on these issues and process, which we'll talk about in a minute, what processing is. As the herbs heal our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our faults and failings, it is these we must seek. And then the disease, no matter what it is, will leave us. Because the disease and the suffering is coming from all the stress and the anxiety and the worry and the depression and the sexual abuse from the childhood and living with a man you don't love and being in a job you don't like and being a total workaholic and not taking any time for yourself and not dealing with the issues and the baggage and the garbage and the junk and the crap that you got going on the inside of yourself. And that is the second level, the level that we work with the Bach Flower remedies. The third level is the underworld ghost river. That's the level of the family energy patterns. The Bible says the iniquities of the father are visited onto the children for the third and fourth generation. The gene patterns coming down through the generations, the traumas of their life, what they call the inner child work. And we use the wonderful SAF to process that stuff. And you're going to be real happy when you learn the SAF. It's just too cool for school. Louise Hay says, she wrote the book, You Can Heal Your Life. Very famous holistic healer. She wrote, this system will blow your mind. It is light years ahead of any other form of therapy. And I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to release old patterns. That's what she said. I don't really consider it a form of therapy. It's a way that you can do that. I consider it a form of healing. And you can, once you learn it, you can do it on yourself. Now, I want to go and talk about something real difficult concept, and that's the concept of processing. And I got some help today on this. I went outside the trailer, and I started to go over to the truck, and I looked, and a rattlesnake was walking my direction. And I went, and I stopped, started talking to him, and he's talking to me, and I realized this was something deep. And I've hung around the Indian reservations and hung around with Indian people, and they've explained to me about how animals exchange power with you. And I thought, And so this rattlesnake, I backed away and went in the trailer and started making my tea and stuff. And the rattlesnake went about 10 feet away, 15 feet away, and curled up in a little ball. And I went, I wonder if he's coming to bring me some power. I got my soda tonight. I can use a little power. And he stayed there. And I could feel his vibes. Very deep, very powerful. And so I started writing about my show, about the processing, about the things we're going to be talking about tonight. He was sat there for 2 hours. And I'd look out every now and then, and he was sitting there looking at me. I could feel his energy and his power. Then I said, you know what? I bet that as soon as I'm done writing the outline for the show tonight, he's going to be gone. And I finished up the last sentence, getting ready to type it off. I looked out the door, and he was gone. God bless him. It was a very powerful experience. Before we go into processing, let me read you another poem here. Because we're dealing with feeling, and we're dealing with processing. What is processing? Okay, I'm reading a book that won the Pulitzer Prize called Truman by McCullough. Awesome book. If you want to read a cool book. On the Audible, which I love Audible. I think it's like 40, 50 hours long. Just one of the coolest books about one of the coolest men I ever read. He wrote a letter to his wife when he was president. He wrote her phone. He said, I wonder why it is that we are made so we really... what we really think and feel, we cover up. So that inspired me to write this poem about feelings. Why don't we feel our feelings and talk about our truth? Why do we have to hold it all inside and button up our very heart, our very voice? This morning, it was so, so calm. As peace moved through the air. And rabbits came around today to thank me for the celery. And quail were telling me how happy they have been. And now the wind and storm begin baggage they deny and stuff away, the pain they never speak about, the hurt they've carried all these years, the emptiness that's eating at their blood. Just pretend and do not speak the who of who you really are. Voice not the aching of your deepest heart, the pain upon your back and neck. The dancing, stifle, suffocation of your soul. Oh no, they do not stifle me. Oh no, everything is fine. Just look at what I'm doing now and see how great I am, how good I look. Lies, deception, the act of acting who you're not, performing to conform. And all the while, the desert storm moves in, quiet whispers of the truth across the sand and moving wind. You're stuck inside your emptiness and never really knew yourself, the deeper part of you, your truth, the person who you really are inside, the person you were really meant to be. Being the person you really meant to be, I think part of that, moving into the Tao, which means moving into the way, or in the West we call it God's plan, or God's will, or the divine plan, a lot of that has to do with your capacity to get into deeper touch with your own soul, which is your own spiritual development, and that's between you and God. And a lot of it has to do with dealing with the baggage and the garbage and the junk and the crap that you hold inside that you don't want to deal with. And for that, the doorway is to feel your feeling. You can understand what your truth is. And the other doorway is to go into the doorway of processing. So that leads us to what is processing. We are told by our society to bury our pain. Not to deal with it. Nobody wants to hear about it. Nobody wants to hear about how much pain you're in. Nobody knows what to do about it. And if you go to a doctor, they just give you some drugs. They want to put this girl on some Prozac, just a shut up pill, get her to shut up for whining about how much she's hurting. I was sitting around a campfire, and a friend of my daughter, Mariana, told me, my best friend died 2 years ago. And he took a breath. He said, I haven't even started to deal with that. Got it buried. I had a student tell me, my father died. And before the funeral, I was getting ready there in my house, and my mother was there, I was in my bedroom getting ready for the funeral. And I started crying, and mother said, what are you doing? She said, do you want everybody think you're stupid? You're an idiot? Stop crying. And so she sucked it up, stopped crying. She said she shut it down. She never cried again. She never mourned or grieved the death of her father ever again. She was intimidated, stifled, suffocated, manipulated, dominated, and shutting down her feelings. She needed to grieve the death of her father. She kept the father. She kept it all inside. So with the Bach flower, you've got a bunch of different emotional issues, emotional states that you're going to want to process. And to understand processing, let's just take one of those emotional states and we'll talk about processing that. The Star of Bethlehem remedy is for trauma, grief, loss, sorrow. And I tell everybody, sets up the greatest rate of healing of trauma on the planet Earth. It's just too cool for school. My friend Maria said, and these are not my words, these are her words, but I think they're very wise. She said, nobody understands trauma. Nobody really understands trauma. Nobody knows how to heal it. Start that if you got trauma. Well, the truth is, nobody can really show you how to heal your trauma. You have to learn how to heal it on the inside of yourself. You have to listen to your own soul. You have to listen to your own spiritual self. They're going to teach you, going to tell you how to process and deal with and rectify and handle and put to rest and resolve your loss and grief and trauma. And I'll tell you a wild story, and I guess it's okay if I tell you this. I won't use his name. I had a gay friend who was in Vietnam. He was in Special Forces. And he told me a bunch of the experiences over there. I was very happy. When he got back, he was in so much trauma. He was in his mother's house in Seattle. And he sat down in the bottom of the shower, and he said that he was in so much trauma and he was so exhausted that it took him 2 hours to get up and turn the shower off. And his mom kept hassling him and said, you need to go get a job. Well, you know, he didn't need to go get a job. He needed to process all the trauma and the pain that he had seen in Vietnam. So his buddy told him, he said, why don't we go to Florida? We can go down there, the water's beautiful, and we'll just hang out down there and heal. So they went to Florida, and he got he was on the beach there in the Keys. And he told me he got a chair and put it on the water, and the water would come up around his legs. And this is what his soul was telling him to do, see, to process his trauma. He sat there all day, and the water come up around his legs, and he watched the water go back out into the sea, and then it come up around his legs again and go back out in the sea. He sat there all day, and he was busy processing his trauma. That's what God told him to do, to process his trauma. Nobody can tell you what you need to do, but that's what God told him to do. But let me tell you the rest of the story, because it's the wildest story I've ever heard. So he was with his buddy, and his buddy had a dog. And one day he was sitting there, and these military police come rolling up over the hill, down in, and arrested him, and took him to a Navy prison, which was right next to him, a Navy base. Threw him in jail, started interrogating him. They figured he didn't know what the heck they were talking about. And they, for days and days, they interrogated him. And he kept telling them, look, I just came out of Special Forces. I just come back from Vietnam. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting there. And they were hassling him, interrogating him. So I guess he said, I guess they thought since I was Special Forces, I was working for some government. And they had a submarine base over the hill, and they had some new periscopes or something that they had, and they thought I was spying for some foreign government or whatever. And so they kept us there for a week or two, passing us, and in the jail there. And so finally they came and said, okay, we're sorry, we made a mistake, you guys can go. And he says, okay, we're out of here. And then his buddy said, so where's my dog? And he said, well, we don't know anything about a dog. He said, yeah, when you came and arrested us, I had a dog. Where's my dog? And they stonewalled him. We don't know where your dog is. So and my friend got so upset. He was so upset with all this mistreatment. And now the dog is not being returned. He marched over to the base commander, it was either commander or an admiral, I don't remember, and marched into the office, and the officer who was there said, you know, what do you want? He said, I want to see the base commander. He said, well, you can't without an appointment, and it's difficult to get an appointment. And he was so flustered, he threw the guy up against the wall and took off his 45 and marched him into the base commander's office and held them both at gunpoint. And he said, "Now listen," he said, "I'm in special forces. I've had it. I've been in Vietnam." He says, "And I'm here just sitting on the beach." He said, "I'm not doing anything wrong." He said, "My friend, he said, my friend lost his dog. They took his dog and they're not giving it back. He said, I want you to give this dog back immediately." And so the base commander understand the situation, and so he picked up the phone and he made some calls over to the brig and the MPs, and they came back with his dog. And then he looked at the base commander and he said, "Sir," he said, "I'm going to put this gun down on your desk. You can arrest me if you want, but when I get out of the brig, which I eventually will, I will find you and I will kill you." And the base commander said, "Go in peace." That was my friend. He was a very deep, very spiritual man. They left with a dog. God bless him. My father, when my grandmother who raised me died, my father was there holding her hand as she died. And he didn't like to process anything. He didn't like to deal with any deep emotions. But the women from the nurses from the hospice kept telling him, "Marvin, you gotta grieve your losses." So he's always telling me, "Son, you gotta grieve your losses." So when she died, he put her estate in order, and he and Treva, my wonderful stepmother, drove from Seattle down to San Diego, and then over to Fort Worth, Texas, and took him 4 months. Because my dad the way the story was told, my dad would drive over to a hotel, a motel, check in, and he would just lay there for days, order in food, maybe they'd go out, watch TV, read books, lay there for days, and then pick up and drive down the road a little bit and get another motel. And that was the way he grieved. Finally got back to Texas. You may need to cry. I had one lady tell me, she said, "Whoa, man," she says, "I'm just crying all the time." I put her on some different remedies, and had Starbethlehem in there, and she says, "I'm just crying all the time. Sometimes I just cry all night." I said, "Well, that's good. You're crying out all those tears that you've got inside. You breathe, you're processing." Now, one person may be sitting on the beach, having the water come up around his legs. Next person may be driving a car. Next person may be crying. Nobody can tell you how you need to breathe. Just you need to go ahead and do it. You may need to talk to a friend. You may need to get out of town, go to a hot springs. What the American Indians do is they need to process. They'll go up on top of a mountain and sit there, and they'll tell you, "I fasted for 3 days." I had so many Native Americans tell me, "I fasted for 3 days, and I prayed to the Great Spirit to get the healing that I need inside." I'll tell you two funny processing stories. I had this, I've owned three schools in size, and I had one was in my sweetheart's home and down in another part of the house. And we had, the class was starting, and there was a bunch of people, like 10, 15 people coming for the massage class. This woman came, she said, "Dr. Love, I can't be in this class today." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because I feel like I just need to cry." And I said, "Well, why don't you go up the stairs and turn on the right-hand side, there's a room, go in there and just cry all you want." So she goes up, and she starts to wail and bawl and cry. Well, then, another woman comes, and she says, "Dr. Love, I can't be in the class today." I said, "Well, you know, why not?" She said, "Because I'm so angry. I feel like I just need to scream." And I said, "Well, listen, no problem. Why don't you just go up and visit, go up the top of she went in and started to scream. So everybody was getting ready for the massage class. They were getting on the, and they know how supportive, they knew how supportive I was with allowing yourself to process. And then this other woman come, she came in late, and she's coming in, getting ready for the massage class, and she stopped. She looked at me, and over on the right up the stairs, somebody was wailing and crying and calling. And on the left, someone was screaming and screaming. And she looked at me and she said, "What's going on?" I said, "Don't bother them. They're processing. It's no problem." And she said, "Okay." And then she went and got on the massage table. When I was in Humboldt County, I met a woman who told me that her and her husband had a scream closet, where they could go if they needed and just scream and scream and scream if they felt that that was how they needed to process. So in processing, you actually work the issue through. And I'll give you an example. I talked to a young lady this week. She called me. She said, "I'm very irritable." And I said, "Well, let's talk about it and find out." You know, I've given her flower essences. And she says, "I'm very irritable." And I said, "Let's talk about it." I said, "No, what actually happened to make you so irritable?" She said, "Oh, my God. Now I realize I'm supposed to take care of this woman's dog and dogs, and I go over there 3 times and walk them and change the poop and get on the floor and all the different things you got to do and with the dogs." And she says, I don't want to do this like this. It's too much. I'll do it a little bit, but I don't want to do too much. I'm so irritable." And I didn't say no to her. I went ahead and said yes to her, and now I'm so irritable, and that's what it was. See, because all the suffering follows a law of cause and effect. It's just that people don't know how to relax and talk to a person and find out what is going on and causing them to be upset. Processing means that you figure it out. You learn what you're supposed to learn. You change what you're supposed to change. You grow the way that God wants you to grow. You become a new person, a different way of living, a different way of being, a different way of thinking, a different way of feeling. You become a different person inside. If you hate your job, you discover it, and you figure out how to move on. You begin to get the strength to move on and discover what your real life work is, and move away from that job that you don't want. Maybe you got headaches, you got back pain, or whatever. Maybe it's coming from working in the wrong job. The remedy for that is wild out to find your purpose, mission, call your mind. If you have conflict with your sister or your mother, you need to figure out how to resolve it. You don't resolve it with your sister or your mother. Don't expect the other person to change. No, you resolve it on the inside of the inside of yourself. I have a woman who told me, was a student, and she told me, "I hate to say this, I just wish that my husband, sometimes I wish he would die. There's so much conflict and torture between them." And I said, it's not about your husband, it's about you, because there's something inside of you that's drawing this to you. And we've been working with the remedies, 4 to 6 months, like that. And they're very much in love. And she just worships him, and he worships her now. And there's peace and harmony between them, pretty much. I had a student in Phoenix who was getting a divorce from his wife. They were living separate. He couldn't even stand being around her. She was unbelievably dominating and bossy, and he was a total doormat. And she walked all over him, and the divorce was coming, I think, around 6 months. It could have been a few months more or less, probably 6-7 months, could have been 8 months. He was taking flowers, and I kept telling him, I said, "What you need to change you, and as you change you, she'll change." Well, she didn't want to change. She didn't want to take flowers. She didn't want to work on herself. She didn't want to process. But he did, and he became very assertive, and he drew his boundaries. So then in dealing with her, he put her on notice. "These are my boundaries." And then he wanted to start giving her flower essences. So he started with just a few, and she took it, and she liked it, and she took more. And within this period, somewhere between 6 to 8 months, the dominating nature began to chill. Because I think after we had worked maybe 3 or 4 months, started giving her flower essences, and her dominating nature began to chill. And when she was done with the course, which was a one-year course, when he was done with the course, the divorce was dropped. They were intimate again. They were spending the weekends together again, and they were thinking about getting together again, and because they were so much in love, and the conflict, the conflict between themselves was resolved, because he processed and learned and grew and changed and became a new person. What about if he was sexually abused as a child? You need to start learning how to resolve records that are coming up, the records that are up in your face from those traumas. With the healing system, the love healing system, you can actually pull the records and open the files and find out what the records are. And then I help you to learn how to resolve those records on the inner self. You have to do this on the inner self. Nobody can heal you. I can't heal you. No healer, doctor, nobody's going to be able to heal you. To heal the emotional spiritual conflict, you must learn to heal yourself. How do you resolve trauma? You have to learn what God is trying to teach you. It's God who gives us these experiences of our life because he wants us to learn. We need to get off our sorry butt and start to work on ourselves. We need maybe to do journaling, maybe to talk to a healer, maybe talk to her husband or her girlfriend. Maybe do some flower essences. Maybe talk to a priest. Maybe go up alone in the mountains. Maybe read a book on healing, especially healing grief. Maybe take a grief workshop. Your soul will tell you how to heal, especially once you start taking the Star of Bethlehem. Your soul, your very soul inside, what's been telling you how to heal all along. We ain't been listening. We're too busy watching TV, chasing the new car, chasing money, chasing girls, chasing men, all the cool things that we're into. And we're not listening to the messages, but when you take the flower essences, you start to listen to the messages. When the records come up, stay with the records. Pray for understanding and guidance. What is going on and what is the solution? The spiritual law is stay with your pain. Don't try to run away from your pain. Don't try to push it away. Don't drag it away. Stay with your pain. My friend, who's very psychic, one of the best psychics I ever met, her husband died, and at the end of the week, her son died, and at the end of the week, her husband died. Her friends took her up to a cabin in Colorado for the weekend. At the end of the weekend, they gave her keys. And they said, honey, you stay as long as you want. She told me she stayed for 3 years. She carried her own water. She chopped her own firewood. She was alone with herself for 3 years. That's what she needed to do to process the death of her husband and her son, double whammy. She came back down in the world, began doing psychic readings again, and told me, she said, you can process the death of a child. And I listened to what she had to say. You may have to go to the monastery. You may have, which means to go off somewhere and be alone. You may have to go into the void, which means, like we talked about before, the void is just a weird space where you ain't coming and you ain't going. It's just this big empty void. But God will speak to you in that. And God forbid, you may have to go into the dark night of the soul. Dark night of the soul, there's no comfort and excruciating emotional pain, because it's there that God is going to teach you and quick fix on you to quit being so arrogant, to quit being so dominating, to quit being so self-willed, to quit manipulating other people, controlling other people, quit being so selfish. Dr. Bach wrote the primary diseases of mankind are such things as pride, cruelty, hatred, ignorance, instability, selfishness, and greed. Everybody thinks, well, I need to go be with people. But you know what? And they go like, I can't grow and be healthy unless I'm with people. But sometimes the healing, because the healing you need to do is on the inner self, on the inside of yourself. Sometimes you can't get that healing from another person. You have to get that healing from the inside of yourself. So sometimes you have to be alone. I'll tell you one other funny story about processing. There was an anthropologist in New Mexico, and I asked him, I said, what's the coolest site in New Mexico for the anthropology for the Indians? He told me, and I went there. And he was describing going up into the mountains there, and there's these canyons, and there's beautiful things written, Indian writing and petroglyphs on the canyons. And the women used to go up there, and they were processing and processing and processing all day. And I was listening to them. I said, oh, and they were in the canyons, and they were like rooms, and they had these beautiful symbols written on the walls, and they were processing. That's like so cool. They were working on themselves. And he said, what? I said, they were working on themselves. They were working on their issues. He said, what? And I said, they were processing their issues. He goes, no. They were processing food. I about fell out of my chair. Let's see. Let me look at, let me check my time here, see where we are. We can run a little bit over tonight. Let me read you another poem here. Where is your heart? One time when you were young, you could feel the shadows of your feelings blew whispers across your soul. You did not want to be so vulnerable. They told you it was being tough. The guy on top would make your life okay. And then you learned to shut your feelings down. Cold and ice blew forth across your breath. And to manipulate and have agenda on each entity you meet. Where is your heart that you once had? The part of you that's soft, the part of you that feels, the part of you that's deeper than the shallow, superficial person. You pretend and try so hard to be. Okay, let me slip over and talk a minute about the time. We'll run over just maybe 5 or 10 or 15 minutes here. We can get away with it. Okay, let me find the pine. Pine's a remedy. We've been talking about remedies to protect from parasitic infestation. People sucking their energy, taking their power, which is a big problem, one of the biggest of all causes of disease. Pine's a remedy for guilt. Those who blame themselves, even when successful, they think they could have done better and are never content with their efforts or the results. They are hardworking people who suffer much from the faults they attach to themselves. Sometimes if there is any mistake, it is due to another, but they will claim responsibility even for that. Pine is a remedy, first of all, being hard on yourself, picking on yourself, criticizing yourself. Pine's always got something critical, like a put down they're doing on their own selves. And there's only two remedies that do that, pine and rock water. So the way you test that is you go like, hey, are you hard on yourself? Self-critical. Myself and all my actions were under a microscope, examining every action, constantly on trial, constantly losing. Sue told me that. Strong inner critic. I punish myself. I let myself be punished by others because I believe that everything is my fault. So the pine person has this feeling that they're causing the problems for everybody else if they like things in their fault. Maybe they had a critical parent. Now the critical parent is inside of them, criticizing them. Guilt. If someone in my family gets sick, my father feels if he did something wrong at Congo. Guilt means that you feel bad that you've done something wrong. And, you know, this is a remedy for protection and shielding from people taking their power. There's certain religions, I won't name them by name, who put guilt on their parishioners. There's certain political people who put guilt on people. There's certain mothers and fathers who put guilt on people. Guilt is one of the ways that you can manipulate people, get people to do what you want. Suck their energy, use them as a feeder, dump on them, use them as a dumper. Take your power. This is a remedy for protection, the shielding. It's a remedy to help you stop drawing people who take your power and suck your energy. Shame. Pine actually has shame. She feels so much shame. She's very unsupportable. You know, in other words, you can't support her. I guess that's what this, they said. I'm right. This is what one of my students said. There's no way, yeah, there's no way I can contribute to her. She's unsupportable because she feels so much shame. Shaming myself. So the pine is either going to shame themselves or they're going to draw somebody who shames them. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm a bad person. Picking on yourself. Constantly under microscopes, examining every action, constantly on trial, constantly losing. Self-blame. She blames herself even for the mistakes of others. She seems to be so self-critical. Whatever happens, she thinks, man, I must have caused that. It must be my fault. The woman had the worst guilt of anyone I ever met. She was a student, and she took my class at Santa Monica. It was 4 months long. And one of the women that she took was a pine. And then after the class, I didn't see her for another 4 months. It was a total of 8 months, and she's on pine the whole time. Her husband was dominating, criticized her, bossed her around, picked on her a lot. And she wasn't very pretty. I mean, she was, I hate to say it, she was ugly. And which is striking to me. But anyway, I always figured it was because that she had so much self-deprecation against herself. And pine was, I gave her sentry for being assertive. I gave her walnut for protection, agrimony for holding things in time. She then, by the end of the class, she was talking about getting a divorce. She actually ended up divorcing them. Living alone. Anyway, I saw her 8 months later. She told me, she said the guilt is pretty much completely gone. She said she was still on pine, but it's pretty much totally gone. She said to me that she was still taking it, though. And I was blown away. And that's called a thorough constitutional transformation. That's where you take the deepest acting negative character defect and work with a person on that, and in 6 to 8 months or so, that's completely changed over to the opposite. The most dominating man I ever met, his wife had me give him remedies for about 5-6 months or so, and she told me he was no longer dominating. That's called a thorough constitutional transformation. But the other thing was that now she was assertive, now she had her boundaries, now nobody was beating up on her, now she was no longer picking on herself. She was so pretty. So this woman, she's probably in her mid-30s, had changed from an ugly woman to a very pretty woman, which just blew me away. There's a woman in, who introduced me when I was so honored to speak at the Naturopathic Clinic. And when I first met her, she had her, she wasn't, she looked like a haggard old woman. And she was, she's only 22, 21, fought with her boyfriend, self-esteem issues, guilt, workaholic, all this stuff. And I was with her each week, but I didn't actually see her. We didn't get together physically, but we worked together by phone, because that's what I do with all my students, work together by phone. So, she said, I went to Naturopathic College to speak, and she was going to introduce me. And she came up to meet Dr. Love, and I didn't even recognize her. I turned around, She was the most strikingly beautiful woman in the whole friggin' building. There was a lot of women in that building. So I gave her a hug, and I looked at her and said, man, you look good. She looked healthy, too. Well, we went in, and she stood up there, and she told the students the following. This blew me away. I've never had an introduction like this. She said, I've been studying with Dr. Love for a year. She says, I got to tell you, I do not have any more test anxiety. Well, in a medical school, test anxiety is about the worst curse that they have. She said that her test anxiety, she'd been taking Mimeos for fear, said her test anxiety was pretty much totally gone. She said, all myself, she said, I have no worry about money, I have no fears about the future. She said, all my issues with my self-esteem and self-confidence are totally resolved. She said that all the guilt that I've had for years is totally gone. She said that I was the worst workaholic, and now I'm no longer a workaholic. She says, in the evenings, I study, but on the weekends, I might study a little bit, but normally I'll get my nails and toes painted. And then she said she would get a massage and spend romantic evenings with her boyfriend and spend time with her girlfriends and just relax. She said, I'm relaxed for the first time in years. And she stood up there, and she was the most electric, magnetic, healthy person in the room. There was about 50 people in the room. The most physically beautiful woman in the room. Blew me away. All that haggard old woman stuff that she had, she's like 21, was like totally gone. I'm going to tell you, I walked away from that speech at the Naturopathic College with more students I could shake the stick at. Because people had seen that change in her. And she had taken that guilt, remedy for guilt, until it had gone over and she got a thorough constitutional transformation of that. And that's one of the things I show you how to do in my course, to come up with the thorough constitutional transformation. That's a cool story. Self-blame, self-reproach. She blamed herself even for the mistakes of others. She seems to be so self-critical. Self-reproach. She's always cursing and degrading herself with her thoughts. She feels like she deserves to be punished. What did I do wrong to deserve this suffering? She talks nasty to herself, always feeling something wrong with herself, something bad about herself, something bad about who she is, that she's done something bad or she's bad and so on. Displeased with self, who was also as rock water, which is one of the workaholic remedies we'll get into in a few weeks. She's always picking on herself, stewing. She has such nasty self-talk and self-esteem. There's always something wrong with herself and discontent with self. I feel like I could be replaced just like that because there's somebody better than me just waiting. Dissatisfaction with self. In her mind, in her own mind, she's so degraded, dishonored, and disgraced, isn't it? It's a remedy for being dishonored by other people and disgraced. Self-condemnation. I should be doing something else. I should be this or that, but I'm not. You always feel like there's something, you know, that you should be doing, some way you should be, but you're not. You're not good enough. Nothing I ever do is quite good enough. It always has this thing or that thing wrong with it. So when Pine does something, they always feel there's something wrong with it. I had a man one time, I gave him a massage treatment, and he told me, wherever I go, people throw money at me because I can always figure stuff out. He was the one who came up with the schematics and the process of, you know, when you push the button on the street and the lights change, you push that little button and then the lights change and you can walk. He's the one that came up with that, created that. And he said he would go to South America and create things for people that just throw money at him. And everything he did, people just couldn't believe how well it worked. He was such a genius, he said. But before he got on the massage table, I'll never forget, he said, but I've never felt satisfied with anything I have ever created. So I put that boy on some pine. Because pine is a remedy for feeling like whatever you do is not good enough. There's others, you know, there should be this way or that way, or there's something wrong with it. And as you heal that inside yourself, because that monkey off your back, all that stress, he's always the first to confess to something, even if it doesn't really, he didn't really do it, he still wants to apologize. Never satisfied or content with our efforts or the results. Whenever I do something, I always feel I could have done it better, or at least I should have done it differently. I should be this way, or I should be that way. It's how you can't, like, love yourself, because you're supposed to be some other way than the way you are. It's supposed to be better. Somebody, when you were young and growing up, told you that you're just not good enough. I should be this, or I should be that. I should be doing this or that. Rockwater also has it. I feel I have original sin that I have to bear. When I was 5 years old, my father was a Baptist minister. They told me I had original sin, the devil was going to get me. And I was, like, so scared. After about 6 months, I was terrorized and shaking. Because they told me there's something wrong with me. And instead of telling me God loves me, they were telling me that I have this original sin and the devil's out to get me. It's almost that God doesn't love me, she said. Like I'm filthy and cursed with sin. Degraded, dishonored, disgraced as an entity. Low self-esteem, self-respect, value. And you know what? Let's pick up on the point there next week. I want to read you something before we go. Let me check our time here. I want to read you something that's really cool. And I've been wanting to read this for a long, long time. Now I got a few extra minutes. We said, we've been going over remedies that are for shielding and protection from people that are going to interfere with you and knock you off your balance and knock you off your path and knock you off the Tao, God's plan, God's will for your life, and knock you off your power. So this is a little story from Dr. Bach, from a book or a talk that he wrote called Free Thyself. It's in a book that's pretty cool. It's called The Original Writings of Edward Bach. So let me read you the story. It's like really cool. A small child, I'm going to adjust my headlamp here, it's getting dark. A small child has decided, this explains how interference works, which is with all these remedies that we're doing, this group of 9 remedies for shielding and protection. It's all about shielding and protection from interference. A small child has decided to paint a picture of a house in time for her mother's birthday. In her little mind, the house is already painted. She knows what it is like, down to the very smallest detail. There remains only to put it on paper. The picture is finished in time for the birthday. To the very best of her ability, she has put her idea of a house into form. It is a work of art because it is all her very own. Every stroke done out of love for her mother. Every window, every door painted in with the conviction that it is meant to be there. Even if it looks like a haystack, it is the most beautiful, perfect house that has ever been painted. It is a success because the little artist has put her whole heart and soul, her whole being, into the doing of it. This is health. This is success and happiness and true service. Serving through love and perfect freedom in our own way. So we come down here into this world knowing what picture we have to paint, having already mapped out our path through life, and all that remains for us is to put it into material form. We pass along full of joy and interest, concentrating all our attention upon the perfecting of that picture, and to the very best of our ability, translating our own thoughts and aims into the physical life of whatever environment we have chosen. Then, if we follow from start to finish our very own ideals, our very own desires, and all with all the strength we possess, there is no failure. Our life has been a tremendous success, a healthy and happy one. The same little story the child painter will illustrate how, if we allow them, the difficulties of life may interfere, and also I may say the people of life may interfere with the success and happiness and health and deter us from our purpose. The child is busily and happily painting when someone comes along and says, why not put a window here and a door there? And of course, the garden path should go this way. The result in the child will be a complete loss of interest in the work. She may go on, but is now only putting someone else's ideas on paper. She may become cross, irritated, unhappy, afraid to refuse these suggestions, and begin to hate the picture, and perhaps tear it up. In fact, according to the type of child, so will be the reaction. The final picture may be a recognizable house, but it is an imperfect one and a failure because it is the interpretation of another's thoughts, not the child's. It is of no use as a birthday present because it may not even be done in time, and the mother may have to wait a whole another year for her gift. This is disease, the reaction to interference. This is temporary failure and unhappiness, and this occurs when we allow others to interfere with our purpose in life and implant in our minds doubt and fear or indifference. And that's pretty cool. I wanted to read that to you. Before we go, let me tell you, any of you guys that are interested, my two books, The Art of Healing, 650 pages, Physician Heal Thyself, 450 pages. They are ebooks, they're $35. If you're interested, send me an email, medicinewin.11@gmail.com, or go on my website. Here's my information, DrEricLove.com, DrEricLove.com. My course is a 1-year course. My school, the Academy of Healing, is a 1-year course. We give a certified homeopath, certified nutrition consultant, certified herbalist, and homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. We do a session once per week. It is a true apprenticeship. We sit together on the telephone once a week and talk, and I give you remedies and help you go through the healing process, and I tell everybody, this should be the most dramatic healing process of your entire life. And from experiencing it on the inside of yourself, you'll learn how to do healing with not only yourself, which is the most important, your wife, your husband, your kids, which is, and your family, which is second most important. And the people that God brings to you, if you want to work with people, or if you're a practitioner or a doctor, you'll learn to work with your patients. I teach you the wonderful SAF that's built into this, which is the big guns you bring in for the big things that nothing else can resolve. I teach you the wonderful alignment technique that puts all the bones of the spine into a complete spinal alignment. Gets most people out of pain. You just hold a few points in the forehead, behind the head, muscle test the feet. And there's a bunch of other cool stuff that I teach you. I sit beside you and take you on the journey through a year. We could skip a week here and there, but pretty much with all my students, we talk once a week for the year. And through that, you'll learn to heal yourself. You'll process your own healing that you need on the inside of yourself. And we'll have a lot of fun. And any of you guys that are interested in that, my phone number is 406-585-0774, DrEricLove.com, or you can call, send me an email, medicinewind@gmail.com. Let me read one more poem, and then we'll get out of here and go into the night. Let me see another part of you, a part that feels her heart and doesn't push away the deeper feelings of the nighttime air, the deep emotions of your soul. Let me feel the cold night air, the way it moves across my neck and shocks my face and hands the softest snow that hugs around my feet. Let me feel the fireplace. Let me feel the fireplace touch, the way it wraps my body in its heat and streams across my skin and breath and makes my blood come warm. Let me feel the stillness of the night and all the secrets lying quiet beyond the veil of time. The silence of the stars, the gentle moving of the mountain wind, the ancient whispers of a truth once known, we'll learn and know again. I have to turn this with one hand because I'm holding my chin. Okay. I'm trying to be cool here and read through this. I can't even turn my thing. Okay. And most of all, let me feel the truth of who you really are and what you really feel beyond the games and the head trips of the city life. Your truth. You speak to me, revealing who you are, and share with me your deepest self, the self that's hidden from the wind. Let me feel the night to start, the blooming of the midnight air. Let me feel your heart. Well, thank you, guys, and God bless you. And thank you, Don Nissen, the best engineer ever, and Doug, who's also in the background, and Deborah, who's at her home listening. And all three of those guys run the BBS Network, and a beautiful organization, and I'm very proud to be on the BBS and have such good support behind me. So God bless us all, and God bless you guys, and I'll look forward to being with you again next week on Healing the Heart. God bless you.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com. Or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.